This is an interview with Avis Van Bibber. The interview is being conducted on September the 12th, 1978, at Mrs. Van Bibber's home, South Portsmouth, Kentucky. The interviewer is Sue Evans, representing the Kentucky Oral History Commission. Mrs. Van Bibber, you tell us where, when and where you were born.
It's up here on the hill.
Here at South Portsmouth, right?
Yeah. They always called it Springville when I was a child.
And what year were you born then?
I was born August the 1st, 1897.
And what was your maiden name?
Avis English.
English, yeah, that's right. Can you tell us something about your childhood? Just go from there. What you all did on a typical Sunday? What y'all do?
Not at the Methodist Church, Lady Gail.
And that was a big thing then, right?
Yeah.
Well, did you all participate in helping your mother get the dinner ready or anything like that?
Oh, yes. When we got big enough.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had 5 sisters and 4 brothers. And then my mother had 2 little ones that died when they were babies. Was each one 7 months old.
Can you tell us any difference in the funeral customs now than back then? That's interesting, I think.
Well, they used to have funerals in the homes. Mm-hmm. And then they began. Well, in 1920, they had Aunt Sarah Thompson's funeral up here. Mm-hmm. John Morton had horses, and he hauled people to the cemetery. Horses and a sled or a big wagon, you know.
They have changed then, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you tell about, now you went to grade school where?
Beattyville.
They had school there. And how far up did it go in grades?
Oh, we had 8th grade and then normal school there, too. Different teachers taught normal.
Can you remember their names?
Well, when I was 13 years old, the principal of school was M.M. Martin.
That was the principal. Uh-huh. Where did you have to go on then?
Well, I went on and just kept going to school. And that's what you did, you know, till you got ready to make a county certificate. And I went down Lewis County and made a 2nd class. And then the next examination, I went to Greenup and made a 1st class. That way, if you had a 1st class, you could teach in graded schools. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mattis got me a room at the South Shore. They called it Fortin Schoolhouse.
Can you remember the first day you went in to teach class?
Oh, I guess I had, 79 children. That brickyard was going good up there. That was the main thing that people did. They went to McCall's Grocery. On the track. They called it McCall on the railroad track. And then Maynard Morton had a store. And of course there's other stores. J.R. Shepherd's where we bought our books.
Well, how did you live at home?
I walked part of the time. I could walk from home in 45 minutes, and sometimes I rode horseback or rode in a buckboard buggy that I drove.
Could you handle that yourself?
Sure.
Were the kids were they eager to learn then? More?
Oh, yeah.
And then where did you go after you got?
Well, by the time I needed another certificate, I went to Richmond and to take agriculture. I lived on a farm all my life, but didn't know agriculture. So when I came back, I made another first class certificate. So that's what you had to have, you know, teaching in grade schools. And County Superintendent sent teachers out in the county to teach when the country schools opened. So that's where I met my husband. I took a little Leatherwood school and taught it till they opened it south at Fort. And it was the beginning of the war, and his name was in the draft, so he enlisted. And then he went through the war in Germany and was in occupation. And after he come home in a month, we got married.
Were you still teaching then?
Mm-hmm. I taught till the ice got in the river, and then I quit.
Now you taught, what was it called, the school up there beside the brickyard? Close, was that King's Addition or something
no,
like that?
No, it's the old schoolhouse where the long, it was across the road from where the rest home is.
Oh, on the back road there.
They tore the building down and they built another one. They used that old lot for a playground. And then they made a nursing home out of it.
Now,
the children to South Portsmouth.
Now, when Morton came back from service and you all got married, did you get married in a church or home or?
Over to the Big Low Parsonage in Portsmouth.
And I've just looked at your wedding picture and that beautiful dress. Now, did you all sew those or did you order them or can you remember?
I suppose the dress I wore that white one. And then I had a blue one that had changed, and it had ruffles around. And when they wore them, and it was blue silk. And I changed and went home with Harrison and Nettie at Soudeville. And we rode a streetcar home. And they lived just a mile from the streetcar stop and on Harding Avenue. And the next day we bought furniture. Morton had a house rent on Glenwood Avenue. So we went to housekeeping there. And Superintendent Hatfield and his wife moved from where they lived at 601 Glenwood, and it was a brick. And we moved upstairs in that brick. And then we moved downstairs. So Hazel was born at 601 Glenwood. And she was born the 25th of July, 1920.
How long did you all live over there? When did you come back to Kentucky?
Well, we moved downtown. And Earl was born at 4th and Union Street in Portsmouth. And we didn't come back to Kentucky till 1923. And we lived down here on the railroad, and that's where Paul Hubbard was born.
Did you teach any after your children?
Mm-mm.
That was before. Was it times hard then?
Oh, yeah. The people didn't have to have as much as they have now. Morton rode a bicycle to work.
Oh.
But he had a job at the mill weaving steel till they had a strike. And we moved down there and Paul was born. And he built another room on that house and farmed some. And he bought a cow and some chickens and put in a garden. And he was a farmer. That's what he said when he got his marriage license. They asked him his occupation, and he was working the steel mill then, but he stayed a farmer.
He was proud then of that.
Oh, yeah, he knew how to farm. But he had worked in other towns. His brother, Harrison, was an electrician, and he wired buildings, you know, and different things, and Morton had worked with him.
Now, I know that you've always attended church, and can you wonder why the men always sit on one side and the women always on the other?
They don't do that up at the Methodist.
But did they used to?
Uh-uh.
They never did.
The only place ever I went was, I reckon it might have been some kind of a Baptist church, but Paul Mollett had a church, and they invited us to go, and there was two doors, and the women went one door and the men the other, and they all sat that way. But that's the only time I ever saw a church where they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And once I went up the hollow here where the schoolhouse is, and the old regulars, they're having a dinner and a meeting. And Morton, he generally went with me any place I wanted to go. But I said, I'm going up to the meeting. And he said, well, Mom, I don't think you'll enjoy yourself. I said, all right, you can just stay here and tend to the children. I'm going. And I had curiosity, you
mm-hmm,
know, about
sure.
things. And my, they sang the most beautiful songs. And we'd been all so sorry for Bogses. Their boy got in trouble with a moonshine drinking, you know, and they got him arrested for being around the stem.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the guy that had joined the old regulars and was fixing the seats.
Well.
And he married an offering girl back over the hill. And John Wilbert married Nellie Osborne. And I came home and I said, guess who was, they had boards, you know, fixing seats.
Mm-hmm.
I said, guess who was fixing seats for everybody? Fix me a place to sit down. He said, I don't know who was. I said, Dewey Bolt. He said, oh, is he out? I said, yes. he's just doing fine. He helped him sing, you know. But Morton knew to his father. And and so he said, well, they must be doing some good anyway.
Some.
Then he and Johnny Bentley got to be good friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny came up to our church with Sarah, you know.
Sure. But,
and then he'd go to his home. And
yeah.
Owen married Anna May, and her father, Albert Foggs, was old regulars. So, of course, that way, I and Miss Paul and Zelma lived next door to me here. So when Apes was born, Zelma was over here. When Clem Pig died, Albert preached his funeral, and there wasn't nobody come to sing. And Zelma done the singing, all by herself. If you go to churches, you learn a lot.
You learn, don't you?
Uh-huh.
You sure do. Well, did you ever hear them say why the old regulars will read a line and sing a line?
Well, I don't think everybody could read back in them days.
Well, that's what I was always told, but I really never knew if that was true.
I never knew.
They still do that, though, huh?
Yep. I've been to funerals, and they always have so many flowers.
Yeah. They enjoy themselves, don't they?
Yeah, I've heard them even shout at funerals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Well, Morton said a funeral was a good place to get next to Ralphie. She knew that you couldn't get any place else to church. Morton had an awful lot of funerals.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'd lay off from his job at noon, you know, and had a funeral at 2 o'clock. And he said, well, Mom, be ready. I have to go. And he could eat his dinner at the mill, you know, and then come right on and get into his clothes and drive where he had to go. Generally at Quincy or down on Montgomery, someplace like that. Once he had to go to South Webster, Johnny Gregory's baby died. We met out there. That funeral home at South Webster that we went to, they had petunia boxes all up and down each side of the steps, and they were so pretty. They were in bloom. And he had preached on Montgomery, and Johnny had moved to South Webster and married out there, you know. So, of course, Morton was his preacher. All the money he had, he'd come back to get it.
You must have liked him then. They still had about the standard songs, don't they, at the funerals? They haven't changed that much, do you think?
Oh, well, Morton always used to have the songbook. I know when Grandma Thompson died, Perlina, they had record players then. And going up to the Methodist, well, she could learn songs off the heart, you know, and just sing them all the way through. So at Grandma's funeral, the preacher says, we've only got 2 books. Here says, anybody knows these songs, sing them. And Mom couldn't reach Perlina, neither could Dad. She sang right along with everybody. And her little voice, you know, she's little, but it just come out loud and clear, you know. And Mom was sitting close, and she heard somebody say, isn't that grandchild singing? So when Mom got home, she felt so bad. And she says, I'm going to whip her, Mom, for doing that. So she ought to know that. Well, my father said, I know you won't whip her. So I was proud that she could do that. She had a good memory to work puzzles and look words up in the dictionary. Of course, after she got through the 8th grade, they went to town school. But this was when she was small.
Were you the only one that taught school in your family?
My mother taught 15 years before she married.
Before she married.
And my grandmother, Emma Thompson, taught. And my grandfather's sister, Malviney, taught. And Sarah taught. Aunt Cynthia took music. She played the piano for the church. And Jean's daughter teaching now. We always had somebody. And Alice's husband, Dennis Wicks, teaching.
When you taught, I've often heard them talk about making their own fires in these coal stoves for heat. Did you have to do that when you taught?
Generally, some of the big boys around the school kept the fires and pumped the water.
Now, how many grades would you have?
Well, that's not sure. I just had second, third. Fannville Morton had primary. And I had second and third. And then I had the third and fourth. And the fourth and fifth. And the last year, I just had the sixth and a primer class. Because I had training at Richmond, and they put in a kids that come in late in the fall. So I had little ones, you know, one whole row across the end. But when I taught in the country schools, the big ones helped the little ones.
Yeah. Was it hard to discipline them?
Not like it is now.
Could you send for the parents, or did you do it?
The principal did, South Fullerton. I never had very much of that to do. I taught under Fred Daly and Mr. Webb, and Ludie Patton.
Now what, how many months would you all go then to school?
8 months.
8 months. Mm-hmm. That's not too much different from now, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't call school off then when it got bad weather, did it?
Just slopped right through the mud. This old county road was muddy.
Okay. Now, did this county road behind your house go all the way through then?
Sure.
Into Fullerton. Mm-hmm. Really, that was the town then, wasn't it, Fullerton?
Mm-hmm. Train stopped there. Robinson's big store was there.
Now, was Robinson's in Fullerton then?
Yeah.
It's not where it was, where we
no,
think of it now.
It was late years when they built that building up there.
On up in South Shore.
When Carl Morton built the funeral home.
Now, the Morton funeral home used to be on that Stoner Hill, they call it, right?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
where is it?
Uh-huh, down under there, and they crossed the track, you know. And John Davis lived across there, you know. And his father had the old hotel, Davis Hotel.
Was that in Fullerton?
Well, the building's still there, brick.
Where?
There on that first street as you come up Old Fair Landing. You know where that light is out
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I went down through Fullerton from the schoolhouse to cross the river, you know, and then walk down when we live in town or took a streetcar, you know. You get streetcars back when, in 1920.
Streetcar? I never rode a streetcar.
And then, I know in 1920 Taylor Thompson died. That was my great uncle's boy. And I want to take flowers out on Baird Avenue. So I went on the streetcar from up New Boston down and then out to Baird Avenue and back, you know, and went back.
Now, then how did you all get across the river?
Ferry boats.
It was quite a while then before the bridge was really built, huh?
What? It wasn't there when I was married.
Did they take horses on those ferry boats?
Sure. My dad did, I didn't.
And that's how you all got around then, your mom and you all rode your buggies, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they were called?
Uh-huh. And my mother could drive but a horse and buggy, and I when the children was little. She had a surrey. And then in older days, my father had a buckboard, and he could lift a barrel of flour 196 pounds. And he just put on the back of that buckboard and hauled home. And brought the house in the barrel.
Mm.
People had plastered houses.
You mean the walls, like?
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. plastered, lathed and plastered.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes then they, as they build on, they'd use the ceiling and seal it. They couldn't get a plaster. It's hard to get plaster. I can't remember but two that lived around here, and one was Mosey Beard, and the other was John Abbott.
Now, your family owned a lot of land through here, didn't they?
Well, one time they did. My father owned this farm and Kelton Hall. But as the children grew up and he grew older, why, he had to keep selling something.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot of money, you know, doctor bills. He's a great man called doctor. Everything
mm-hmm.
happened, he also had to have a doctor. You know, the other
Who
one.
Who was the doctors back then, Mr. Miller?
Oh, no, well. Dr. Sellards, Howard Sellards and his father.
Sellards?
S-E-L-L-A-R-D-S.
And where were they from? The doctor.
Well, they live in Portsmouth.
Oh, and they'd come over then.
Oh, yeah. They made, doctors made house calls. And then there was old Dr. Cotton there on Front Street. And there was Dan Spry's drugstore.
Did they usually just go ahead and give you medicine back then? If you had to have it, they didn't write prescriptions?
No, they give you medicine. They carried their medicine with them. But patent medicines, if people wanted to take themselves, they went to Dan Spry, and he'd give them anything that he thought would cure them.
Usually it did, huh?
You know, people bought quinine, calomel, things like that.
That would help. You just go in and tell him, and he would help you.
And they'd buy a camphor gum and pour whiskey on it and shake the bottle, you know. And that way they'd use that for smelling salts. Anybody be buried up the graveyard. Pop went to everybody's funeral, you know, and helped dig their graves. And he said, always want to be sure they buried them with their faces toward the east.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody fainted, he'd bring them in. My mother had that camphor and she put it under their nose, you know. And that helped to revive. Women used to faint more now than they do now.
Wonder why?
I don't know. I know one time he bought Miss Porter and her sister, Miss Wells, when their mother died. Their name was Jones, and they was young girls then. And Pop and their brothers brought them down. Well, they'd gone to school to Mom down to Rock Creek. So he said he fixed up the fire, big and hot, you know, and they put him on the bed, and Mom got that camphor, and after a while they got warmed up and revived, and there was a big snow on. We used to have big snows in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uncle Charlie Thompson was my mother's brother, and he brought John Charlie a sled. So we'd lay right out on the hillside, you know, and things like that, mm-hmm. like children did.
Mm-hmm. What other things did y'all do as children that you played?
Mostly studied every night. Mom had school, and she didn't quit teaching school. That's my mother. And my father went to the post office, and he'd get the Russell Democrat.
And what was that?
That was a newspaper.
How often would you get that?
Well, he got it every week. I guess it was every week. And then Uncle Charlie brought home the Times. Well, Grandma would read the Times, and then the next day, well, she'd send it to Mother. And everything that was interesting, she'd read that loud to my father.
Well, this Russell Democrat, do you think that was published in Russell, Kentucky?
Oh, sure.
That was it. Mm-hmm.
They brought them down on the trains and put them in the post office.
That's how you all got your news.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you had to pass it around for everyone to read.
Well, we just we kept that. I guess not everybody subscribed. There'd be somebody come around, you know, and subscribe. You paid, and then they kept sending it to you. Till you your subscription would go out, and then you'd send the money for another subscription.
Where was the post office here when Springville?
Charlie Craycraft had it up there, and let's see. Jesse Brown.
Now,
and before that, I think Rube Thompson had it before Charlie Krikrad, and then Jesse Brown had it, and Lance Sanders after Mr. Cliff died.
Now, Mr. Cliff had it too, right?
No.
No. That was her husband.
He was railroad. Mr. Cliff was. And,
but where was the building? Where was the post office building?
It was up there at the top of the bank as you go down to the... But Charlie Krikrad had his on up the road. Jesse Brown had his... That's where that old garage is, the top of the bank, as you go down to the depot. And Blanche had hers there. Then Harry McClendy built that building. They had from there on. And Nettie took the examination, and then Minnie run the post office. Now the Edgingtons got it. They have things like that they keep in the family.
It seems that way, doesn't it? Uh-huh. It seems that way. I'm just going to ask you a few questions here, and let's see what we can go from there. Can you remember when the women started cutting their hair, bobbing their hair? I'm just wondering. Can you remember when it was it accepted, or why were you just different
well,
if you
I
had it
thought,
cut?
I never thought anything of that.
Well, you was already liberated then, wasn't you?
I just didn't think about it, but I didn't wear bobbed hair. Mm-hmm. The girls wore these little things over their ears, you know, and you fixed your hair different ways.
Mm-hmm. They didn't cut their hair, though. They wore it long most of.
Some of them had, I don't know. I can't ever remember seeing some people with that bobbed hair.
Can you remember the first time you voted?
Well, my mother tried to see it. Every one of us voted since we was old enough, but I think you had to be 21. I never did take much interest in politics. The only time I'd go would be some friend of Morton's, and he'd drag me up there to just, you know. And I hadn't voted since we was at Yancey, but he registered for me at Green. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, up there around Springville was a place where there was always somebody drinking. Mm-hmm. And I never heard of that. And I just didn't ever, you know, take much interest, but Morton was a strong Republican, and he never missed voting. I know they came after me to vote at Yancey. And
now, where is this Yancey?
Well, that's in Harmon County. That's the first church that he ever clear quit work and went to, you know. He didn't quit out there. He worked on the buildings. And then, you know, he had some tools. But he didn't work for money. He just worked, you know, to keep things going. And at Yancey, the mine company paid him $100. And he began getting Social Security. And we had a new car, so we made that all right.
Now, did you vote at Yancey?
No. They came after me, and it was just half and half. Now, they wanted me to go out and vote, you know. And I said, well, I hadn't registered in this county. So, I didn't change, you know, and Pop just always kept me signed in up here. And he kept a list of the voters, and Mr. Donald was always talking politics. Mm-hmm. And when Nixon got elected, oh, he just thought everything was going to be fine. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember the Depression days, the really hard times? Can you remember anything about those? Mm-hmm. You know, where people really lost their money, or and they had in the banks, and
Well, that's just one of the things that's kind of in the past.
Can you remember if anyone in the community really lost what they had and had to start over?
Well, I heard Dave Corns, one of Morton's relatives, lost some money. Mm-hmm. But he had a store at Greenup and he made $10,000 a year profit after that. He died while his folks put new fence around the graveyard where he's buried, Corn Cemetery. He come out of it.
Yeah. I was just wondering. It didn't affect you all then, really?
Not me personally. Might have been more people, poor people died. Morton had more funerals to preach. I don't know.
Can you remember when the doctors first came in at Fullerton?
There's always doctors there. Dr. Morris and Dr. Nichols. I can't remember when they didn't have doctors.
And they would come too.
They'd come if anybody called them and rode horseback in the mud. Dr. Nichols, the first automobile was ever around here.
Did the women back in your time or your mother's time, about midwives, did they deliver the children?
A lot of them did, but they didn't any here.
You really depended on the doctor, though.
I never had a midwife. I always had a neighbor woman with me and the doctor.
Did you have all your children at home?
I did. Only Avis was born in town, and Hazel, and Earl, but Paul was born down here. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Morris was there when Paul was born, Aunt Marn, and that's Miss Cunningham, and then I guess Dr. McWay brought most of them, and Dr. Hunt was here with Ruth Eller and Avis Allen. If Dr. be on vacation or out of town or something, McWay, why then you get some other doctor for some reason, you know.
Did you always take your children to Sunday school and church?
Mm-hmm.
How many churches were they here?
The Church of Christ up there by the railroad track, where it is now, and the Methodist. And then there was two churches in Kelton Hall. Grandma's brother used to go down there in the frame church and preach when he'd come from South Webster. His name was Seeley Ferguson. And we'd get to go down there when he came, but we run mad out at night. And we went every Sunday morning. Unless it'd be bad weather.
What's your clock?
10 till 2.
Which one did the people mostly go to?
They'd about evenly divided in Babyville around here.
I thought you was going to say Methodist.
No, at least as many goes to Christian Church of Christ as there is to the Methodist. Only when we had WSCS, Mr. Erline was there. Or sometimes down through the years, conferences send a preacher that have big revivals and bring in a lot of people. And the church would be full, and then they built an addition to it and raised it up, you know, put new windows in.
But now, when you were a little girl, where did you attend?
Right there at that same building. Well, that's been there ever since I can remember, before I could remember. Because Nanny McLean always felt like she had a big claim on it, because my grandfather's father And some of her back relatives built it.
Well,
Sissy Thompson, Tatch's wife, used to come up there and play. She'd come here from the South and she played a calliope. I took a few music lessons from her.
What is that, calliope?
It's kind of an organ on a boat. Did you never hear a boat go up the river and hear music? They
yes.
call that a calliope.
Gosh, I'm learning today.
That was Ted Thompson's wife. Yeah, she'd give piano lessons and played for the Firebrick Church. They had a Methodist there and a Methodist in Davy. Methodist of Frost and one after Liberty.
Now, when you was growing up, what did you all do for entertainment when you were like teenagers?
Well, after the about Perlina and Kate's age, they began playing jack. All the ones on the two. of course, we had apples to pick and blackberries to pick, and in the summertime, and in the winter, while we mostly just boys carrying in wood, and they had a wood pile in the backyard. My father would buy a load of coal and dump it out there, and they'd bring in some wood and some coal if it's cold, and keep the fire in the fireplace, and then they had fire on the other side, and he stopped up one of the fireplaces and put in a heating stove in what we call a parlor.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you get to bring your boyfriends home to sit in the parlor?
Yeah, that's the only place we got to sit the boyfriends is home.
You didn't go out on a date then, you had to come home.
Oh, we had to be at home.
Was there chores that y'all had to do as children?
Oh, yeah. Somebody had to go help me out, and somebody had to help cook after the children got bigger. Mm-hmm.
Did you do the same thing with your children?
Mm-hmm.
Certain things
yeah.
they had to do?
Mm-hmm. Their father told them what to do, and they did.
So he was really the one that laid the law down then?
Oh, yeah. I just tell them if they didn't do what he said, and if they done something I thought they ought to.
Earl was telling me about an incident that happened. He really didn't think he was due the whipping that he got. Do you remember?
I couldn't remember which one.
This was when I think Hazel slipped off and went to the river, and him and his brother had to go find her.
I don't remember.
You don't remember.
The boys.
He does.
The boys had to look after the girls all the time.
Well, I think the way he tells it now, I hope I'm not telling it wrong, that they went to Beattyville and got her, and after they got there, and it was so hot, and she was wanting them to come in and swim too, and at first they wasn't going to, and they thought, well, since they were there, they would go ahead, and they just went in and got wet, and then when they come back home, well, they all three were wet, and I think he got a whipping over it, but he really thought that he didn't get to swim and he didn't deserve the whipping.
I don't remember that. But Hazel was a great cat girlfriend. And so was Avis. Avis had seven girlfriends. And they'd go down to Thelma's at the evening sometimes and seem to stay around a little while, then she'd go, you know. She kind of looked after Avis when she stayed here after she came back from the war. Oh, there's times when she was here, you know. She was here when Dale was born.
Mm-hmm.
They could swim the river, though, I guess, before. He taught them to swim, though. I know when we was out on Big Sandy River, we had a church at Cavanaugh, and there was a creek there, and he'd go sit on the bank and let Deacon Dale swim. He could swim good. I know one time Hazel cried, so when she was a baby, Noe Rouse says, why don't you spank her like you used to be at school? She scared to death because her daddy went way out and she could see the waves, you know. And that was up in the east end of town somewhere. When I think we lived on 5th Street then. And Earl was a baby, but I was holding him and took Hazel too, you know. There wasn't much to go any place without, if he could take the family with him, he would.
And we'll get back to the name here. It used to be called Springville. Did you ever hear anyone say, you've been here a long time, how and why it was called Springville?
That's what the voting precinct is yet.
Mm-hmm, that's true. I remember. But wonder where it got its name. Did you ever hear?
Well, they changed it when they had the veto.
But Springville, right?
And then they got to writing up the ticket to South Fortune. Then they had a cab to come over and take the people to town. And they conduct the side to say. They call it Portsmouth and South Portsmouth.
But we don't know where we got the name Springville to start with?
Oh, it's been there. That was a Grandpa, George Washington Thompson, laid out Beattyville, and he had a man named Hall to help him. And his friend was Mr. Beatty, and he named it Beattyville after him. And that was Uncle Nat's father, you see. And Uncle Nat was the oldest one, and he had a ferry boat at Beattyville that went over to there's only Fiddle someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the ferry boats, and it was for the Methodist Church.
Was that mostly where the people lived there in Beattyville? It was closer right there, the homes were, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right down in Beattyville. And Aunt Sarah sold Jim Williams a lot up on the hill, and that was some of her land, and he was a Democrat, and Sarah was a Democrat, and he moved his family up from Big White Oak, and that's how Aunt Alice and her family happened to be there. Then after Grandma died, my Uncle Charlie married Aunt Alice. And that's Nettie Van Bibber and Julie Buckley and Grace Dowdy's mother, you know, and Jess Williams. Mm. Uncle Charlie worked at the steel mill. He caught scrap. But before that, he worked at South.
There was no plants or anything here in Springville, ever. I mean, where they made anything for the men to work.
No, they crossed the ferry there at Beattyville or on up where they had the ferry.
I was thinking about that place across the railroad track, and you remember what was in there? You know, where Davidson Harvey's store used to be? And there's a big, long building that's been there ever since we moved down here.
That was Davidson Harvey's store.
No, it's across the railroad track there.
Oh, that was the cap factory. That place burned down.
Can you remember when the people worked in it? Or?
Yeah, Valley Brandenburg burned up in that, the girl. Jean and Sarah got jobs up there, and they was all... I don't know, it was in their young days though, but it was for vacation. And they come home and said they're hiring a bunch, and they went in and signed their names. Well, my father said, I'll see about that. And they said they made caps in there. So he went up, and there was a woman named Adams there living in the big house where Jan Rayburn lives now. So he said, girls, you can't work there. So they didn't get to work. He said that it was concrete and windows, you know. And he never let them work. But they would have with the other kids, you know.
Wonder why he wouldn't let them work.
Oh, he said it was dangerous. If that place got a fire, the whole thing would burn up. And sure enough, it did. And Dolly Vandenberg burnt right up in there.
Did mostly women work in there? Or?
Yeah, and they yeah, girls that could work fast. What they're hard. You know, you take a really young girl, they can work faster than old women. And the woman's name was Adams.
Do you think she owned it?
Well, she was around there. And
she
Pop
managed
said,
it?
I think he sold some corn. He was peddling, and he was peddling sweet corn, and he wouldn't let the girls work.
I had never heard the story on that. I always knew that was there, but I really never. And I never did know who owned it.
And Brandenburgs went to the Methodist Church. Edgington, Brandenburgs, Millers. And it was one bunch went to the Church of God, or Church of Christ, and that was the Brookers and mostly the Coopers. But Laura Cooper belonged to Methodist Church, Wayne's mother, so they drifted me in that way, you know. And Lancaster's, that was Selma and Miss Hannah's mother, they come later. They moved down Blackton or someplace down below Quinfield, back up in there.
Now, can you tell us where the school was up there?
What school?
South Portsmouth.
Well, it's there where...
When you were small, though.
It was next to Christian Church. And the kids got the road going in there, and they put windows in the church to keep the children out of the basement. They didn't go in there and play for a while, and so the board met, and they said this thing's going on, they didn't want it in that church basement, so they just put windows and the door at the back and locked it up. They run back and forth to play, you know, boys and girls, too.
Now, that was where everyone attended school here in Springville, right, at that time?
And From Fullerton line down and from Lewis County line up, and everybody walked.
Didn't think anything about it.
Mm-mm. They had four runs.
And then they built the one up the holler after that?
Mm-hmm. That down. There's bricks up there yet where it used to be. But they did build another school, and the roof blowed off, and they tore it down.
It's the same place or not?
Yeah, just near the river. The roof blew off, and the boss boy got caught under it and killed. So they tore that down, and they have a lot of brick around there where Billy Carter lives. Mm-hmm. She's got a trailer there now.
Where the school was. I guess then everyone really built around the river because that was the transportation, wasn't getting to and from.
And the men worked on boats. They do now. Mr. Rayburn and Mr. Tucker here worked on boats. And Mr. Harton down here that died, he worked on boats. Mm-hmm. Now his boy works.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's an old graveyard over across the way where the Lawsons lived, and they were boat people.
back then when you were growing up, now, like someone really killed someone, or there was looking for someone, or just a law officer, how did y'all how was that handled?
Well, when Culberson was killed at the depot, they put in the paper, and the sheriff made the investigation, and Sophie Baker, her, had married Mr. Culberson, the night station agent. They found him dead. Well, she just got a job in the shoe factory and worked the rest of her life there. And she had a brother named Jack and a sister named Thelma. And they lived in the house across the railroad there at the first crossing, and the house belonged to the railroad. And Horace lived in the next house.
Well, did y'all have to wait until an officer would come out of Greenham?
I don't know. We read in the, Mom read in the paper, but in the Times, when that happened, about 1930 maybe, and there was an old woman lived on a farm back in the hills back here, back in Burgess's, and my grandfather, great-grandfather had owned it, and then my grandfather owned it, and Uncle Charlie owned it, and then he sold it to Aunt Sarah. And Aunt Sarah was dead, and Aunt Cynthia had it. So she says, well, I rented a house out there to them old women, or to them people, and said, old Miss Holbrook's grandsons is the ones that got in jail. And it seemed like one of the men was Higgins and the other Hill, maybe. So I never did know how that ended, but she kept worrying about that old woman not having anything to eat, and there was a big snow on the ground. So Morton filled up a sack of groceries, and he said, well, she'd have plenty of wood, she'd keep herself afire, and she was old. She had passed along, said she was having a hard time, and she come in, she washed for me a couple of times, and I'd paid her. So he went down and asked Charlie Burgess how to get there. He knew, Ransom told him she went down there, so Charlie told him. And he was attending the land out there. And so then after they had sale, why Aunt Sarah and Aunt Cynthia was dead, why Bubba Lyles bought that place. So then Mabel sold it to Morton, and now the Felties has got it. So that's where the new road ought to be, right on that ridge.
Well, Miss Van Weaver, I see our lights are blinking.
You're through.
Well, we're just about, and I'm going to come back if you don't care sometime, and we'll talk some more, okay? I really enjoyed it.
There used to be a judge named Burchett at Greenup, and I got acquainted with his family. And they used to send out seed through the mail and fruit trees that people wanted from the House of Representatives at Washington. And that was one of the political moves, you know, to get votes. But there was an orchard down here on the hill, Land and Orchard, and that's where people that wanted to buy an orchard and set them out got them.
They'd send the seeds out in the mail?
Mm-hmm. And they've always had a farm bureau of some kind in Washington. Mm-hmm. And yet I get letters from Mr. Perkins, you know, mm-hmm. getting free literature.
Yeah. He's been there a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah. Grandma's sister married Perkins, Thompson's sister. And